seven millenniums. Millennium, as you probably know, is a period of 1,000 years. Just as 10 years is a decade, 20 is a score, and 100 years is a century. Now, we're getting close to the end of the sixth millennium. One reason why this is important, I think, because we're living in a very climactic time. I believe that God, and we'll get into this tonight as we get into the first millennium, I believe that God has kind of divided time up, Brother Wayne, into sections. He lived in eternity, you know, in an endless day. It was never night with him. And he lived in eternity when there was no such thing as time. But when we came into the picture, time started. That's when clocks begin to tick. And people began to divide the days up into weeks and months and years and such as this. And it's all God's idea. It's set forth in the Bible. He's the one that started it. But we're going to think about time in series of 1,000 years. Now that's a lot. There are several scriptures that mention them. Let me give you Psalm 90 and verse 4. This one says, talking about God, "For 1,000 years in thy sight," this is in the sight of God, "are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." That's with God. 1,000 years is nothing to him. It's like yesterday. Because God is eternal. And by the way, you and I are eternal. We think that just because we live, that we were born and we live on this earth for a few days and full of trouble, as the Bible says, that that's all it is. No. That's just our experience here on earth. We are eternal beings. And 10,000 times 10,000 years, we will still be around because we are immortal creatures made in the likeness and in the image of God. We've got eternity stamped upon our soul. 2 Peter, going into the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, you're familiar with this, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now again, that is talking about God and concept of time, because God is eternal. This 1,000 years of the millennium, we all know what the millennium is, I think. That's the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes to establish his kingdom, he's going to rule and reign for a millennium, for 1,000 years. I want to read you, that comes from Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at the first 7 verses of that. It mentions 1,000 years several times in here. And in all of these, it has reference to the kingdom of Christ. Now, by the way, that's the kingdom where you and I are going to be ruling and reigning with Him for 1,000 years. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Get that thought in your mind. John writes, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan." Now this is Revelation 20. You're getting to the last page of the Bible on this, and you go back to almost the first page of the Bible, and you'll find Satan over there, don't you? Because he's the rascal that came down into the Garden of Eden and brought sin into the world. And here he is at the end of the Bible, from beginning to end, Satan. So Satan is also an eternal being. He's been around longer than you and I have, and he's going to be around for a long time, but it makes a difference the place that you're in. Notice that we've got a key now to the bottomless pit, and this angel has got a big chain. And he lays hold on Satan and bound him, notice this time now, 1,000 years. So during this millennium that we talk about, the rule and reign of Christ, Satan is going to be bound all during that time in the bottomless pit, while Christ is reigning. "Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till," see there's a time limit on this, "till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." John continues, he said, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." And what happens? "And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the millennium, see. But the rest of the dead, that's the unsaved. That's, you know, when Christ comes, if we're dead, we're going to be raised from the dead. If we're alive, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together with the dead in Christ. But those that are unsaved are going to stay in the graves. They'll not be resurrected at the first resurrection. So they're still in the grave here. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. He said this is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's 1,000 years again. See, that we, the saints of God, will be ruling and reigning with him. And when the 1,000 years are expired, that's the end of Christ's millennial kingdom on earth. What happens at the end of it? Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now we could go on there and talk about that in Revelation 20, but we're going to stop there because we're not talking, that's not our subject tonight. We're talking about the millennium. Now, we are now living. This is April the 21st, the year 2010, as we count the years. A.D. 2010. We are living in the very end of the sixth millennium. Because the first one started at creation with Adam. And it's already down here to 2010. Everything before Christ was B.C. But we had 4,000 of those years, don't you see? And now they started counting again. And now we're already up to 2010. This will all come out pretty soon. Now, what I want to do in this study is to go back through the scriptures and review the pertinent points. The more outstanding facts of each 1,000-year period and let you learn the Bible in those millennial sections. And we'll talk about B.C. when we talk about that era back before Christ, and then after that, we'll talk about A.D., and that's after Christ. But to begin with, I'm going to give you the number of the years forward. That's the way the Jewish calendar does. Did you know that? Ours, like we say, it begins back there. And the years get fewer and fewer, smaller and smaller, because it counts down all the way to Christ. And then beginning with Christ, it starts to count upward again. But the Jews, who say that, they start with 3,760. That's the year, that would be B.C. That's the year that they begin counting. Back in 1654, there was an Irish chronologist by the name of James Usher. He was also Archbishop of Armagh. And Archbishop Usher prepared a chronology of biblical events, and he concluded that creation began in 4004 B.C. Now, since that time, there have been a lot of other people that have gone through and figured this out. And you can't start with Adam and count forward. You can't do it. You have to start here and count back. It's the only way to do it. You have to start here and count backwards. And today, with all of the computer equipment and such as that we have, it's a lot easier than it was back in 1654 when Usher did it. Everybody that tries it usually comes up with a little different. Not a big difference, but maybe a few years. Now, quite a few years ago, I got a hold of a book written by a fellow by the name of Frank Klassen, California man. And in 1975, he published a book on the chronology of the Bible, and it's an outstanding book. It was given to me by a friend, and I use it, refer to it continually. And he gave the year 3975 B.C. as the date of the creation. And that's the one that I've always used in my chronology book that I, what do I call it, History of Christianity or something like that. I use that. I used his dates. And he started with the year that Christ was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River and began his earthly ministry in 25 A.D. And he counted backwards from the date that Christ began his ministry back to creation. And from that time, it was exactly 4,000 years. So that's the date that I've used in this. Now, let's look at this first millennium here. We'll get an introduction here into this. Our Bible starts off with Genesis 1:1 by saying, in the beginning, doesn't give us a date, but it says God created the heaven and the earth. Now that's a very familiar verse. Nearly everybody knows that. It's the beginning of the first millennium. Now, when you go on down through this first chapter of Genesis, you find that on the first day of creation, and by the way, I believe these days of creation are 24-hour days. Not all people agree with that. Some of them will say that those days of creation extended for even millions of years. I don't buy that stuff. You can't. It just doesn't.
The morning was the first day.
That's exactly right. And by the way, he had evenings and mornings before the sun was ever created. 4 days. That was the fourth day. But on the first day of creation, you'll notice there, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, the third day, etc., etc. Let there be light. Why? Because before the verse before that says that everything was darkness. Darkness covered the face of the universe. And God said, let there be light. And that was the first day of creation. By the way, that was a Sunday. That was a Sunday. How do we know? Because when we get down to the seventh day, God rested. And he called it the Sabbath, and that is the day of rest, and the Sabbath is Saturday. Saturday. It's always been Saturday. The Sabbath has never been anything but Saturday. So, God started out on a Sunday morning, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. Then the second day, what did he do on Monday morning? After that night, that second day of creation, God made the firmament. And he called it heaven. And the way that he created this, we're told, is that he divided the waters which were under the firmament. Now the firmament was heaven. He divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And that's the second day of creation. You've got waters above and waters below, and in between the waters, that space in there, that's heaven. That's the firmament. Now, let's go on. What's he going to do? By the way, at the end of each day, God said, I did a good job today. Third day, that's Tuesday morning. God gathered all the waters on the earth. Now, the earth is in here somewhere. It's all enveloped in water. And God gathered all of the waters together into one place. And he called them seas. And when he took the water and put all the water in one place, what did he have left? He had land, didn't he? And he called the dry land earth. That's the third day now. He gathered the waters into one place and got dry land now. And on the dry land, he caused the earth to bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. That was Tuesday. Right, fourth day of creation. Wednesday. God created lights in the heaven. He made two great lights. The greater light is the sun to rule the day. The lesser light is the moon to rule the night. And he made the stars also, setting them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. That's the first purpose of them. Then he also gave them for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So the scientists tell us that the period of the Earth's revolution on its axis is a day. 24 hours. A day. The period of time that it takes the earth to make its revolution around the sun is a year. So they were given for seasons and for days and years. And the seasons, of course, are spring, summer, fall, and winter. And for signs, the signs are the 12 signs of the zodiac. What's the zodiac? I had to look this up. I'm not that smart. It's the 16-degree broad belt in the heaven that includes the paths of the moon and all the principal planets, and as its middle line, the sun's path. These are the signs. Aries, the ram. Let me know whenever we find one of these that you were born under. Taurus, the bull. Gemini, the twins. Okay, we've got a twin back there. Cancer, the crab. Who's crabby? Leo, the lion. There we got one. Virgo, the virgin. Got one. Libra, the balance, the scales. Scorpio, the scorpion. Sagittarius, the archer. Capricorn, the goat. The goat. Aquarius, the water bearer. Really, you didn't raise your hand. Isn't that what yours is?
Pisces.
Okay. Pisces, fishes. February the 25th. That's right. It changed somewhere in there, didn't it? Pisces, the fishes. So that's the 12 signs that we have. And that is all on the fourth day of creation, Wednesday. Then the fifth day of creation, Thursday morning. God looked out there and he saw all of that water that was gathered together, about 3/4 of the earth's surface covered with water. But there wasn't any tadpoles in there to evolute and become men. Isn't that what they say? That we evoluted from tadpoles or something like that, you know? Anyway, this is Thursday. And God started off by creating great whales. He started off big. We got one down here. You've been hearing about that? He's off down here in the harbor. Yeah. God created the great whales. And every living creature that moves in the sea. And every winged fowl that flies above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. That's what God did on Thursday. And at the end of every day, he looks and he says, I did a good job today. So now, think of the earth in that pristine condition. He's got the sun, the moon, and the stars up here. He's got all of the fishes in the sea. He's got the birds in the air. And he's got all of the grass and the trees and such as that that's growing on the face of the earth. And the sixth, you know, if you got grass, you got to have something to eat it. He said, grass is getting out of hand. I got to create something to graze on it and keep it eat down. So the sixth day of creation, this on Friday, God made the beasts of the earth, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth. And he made the statement, after his kind. I want you to notice that. That's found 5 times there. After his kind dispels any suggestion or idea of evolution from one species to another or crossbreeding between the species that God had created. After his kind. And then, we're still on Friday. as a capstone of God's creation. He creates man from the dust of the earth. He breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. Now, I want you to notice that in everything else, God created by saying, and God said, and God said. But when he made human beings, he made us out of something that he had already created, namely the dust of the earth. Man became a living soul, made in the likeness of God, created in his image. And God, listen, God gave man dominion over all that he had created. Now, dominion does not mean ownership. God never transferred title to it. But dominion means authority. He put everything in subjection to man, human beings whom he'd created. Gave him dominion over all these things. And then God stood back. By the way, it was Adam's responsibility to name all of these things that God had created. I suppose he had them lined up, and here comes that old, what we call the elephant across here. God says, Adam, what are you going to call him? He had to come up with some pretty good answers, didn't he? He said, I'm going to call that an elephant. And after that, here comes a monkey swinging from limb to limb in the tree. Adam, what are you going to call that? He said, I'm going to call that a monkey. And Adam named all of these things that God had created, gave names to them. And God looked back then over that week's work, and he saw that it was very good. So when the sun came up on Saturday morning, God had ended his work. There's nothing else for him to do. So he rested from all his work which he had made. And so the seventh day forever became a holy, sanctified, hallowed, blessed day that mankind will later be commanded to observe when God gives the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai to Moses. And it's still being observed. The Jews still observe it. And since 1845, a group known as the Seventh-day Adventists still observe it. And back in Rhode Island in 1672, there was a bunch of Baptists who were called Seventh-day Baptists. I don't know how many of them there are today. I don't think I've been a Baptist for a long time, and I don't think I've ever met one. Have you?
Yeah, I've met.
You've met a Seventh-day Baptist
church. It's called Seventh-day Baptist.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, they still have them. They're not,
years ago.
Not too many of them. But they're still around. So the world got off to a good start, didn't it? God planted a garden called the Garden of Eden, and we'll start with that next week.